It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law on the air right now. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, last week we talked about the top 10 questions that we received concerning your last will and testament.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get quite through all 10 of them, and I'd like to get through the 10 of them and also maybe review some of the others this morning.
Okay.
And one of the questions, absolutely, it was number 6 on the list, is, you know, I have a will from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I've just moved here from New Jersey, from Virginia, from Florida. I've retired here, or
mm-hmm.
I've moved here for my job. Should I have now a new will? Okay,
right.
This is a very standard question.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I'll take that one.
Okay.
Yeah, we do get that question quite often. And the simple boxed answer is, you know, if you're going to move from a different state into North Carolina, or for that matter, from North Carolina to a different state, really,
right.
And you have your estate planning documents, including your will, prepared under the laws of that other state,
mm-hmm.
then you need to have them looked at, and most likely you need to have them updated and replaced. And,
right.
and let me tell you why. Number one would be that there's execution requirements in any state. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you die in North Carolina. Well, we have to look at the execution standard as it relates to your will.
Mm-hmm.
Was it executed properly as a valid will under the laws of the state of North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Those laws may be different in South Dakota, Pennsylvania, New York, so on and so forth. So,
what would make them different?
Well, witness requirements,
right, okay.
acknowledgement requirements with
mm-hmm.
regard to a self-acknowledged document, things like that. In addition to that, normally when we look at documents from other states, we have an incorporation of statutes
mm-hmm.
in there. I give my, you know, certain powers under New Jersey statute code,
right.
know, to my executor, to my trustee in my document, that type of thing. Well, we really don't want to try to put that square peg in that round hole with
mm-hmm.
regard to someone who's passed away in North Carolina. The estate is having to be probated in North Carolina, but we're trying to fit another state's statutes into what North Carolina allows.
Right.
That creates many times frustration in trying to probate the estate. It creates delay, more time involved with the courts, and more time is money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my goodness, when we're talking about the execution of a will, it's not really a very expensive proposition. So the best way to avoid any of those headaches is to update your document
mm-hmm.
consistent with North Carolina statutes.
So you talk about slowing down probate. Does probate have to be in the state where the will is from, or is it?
No, it would be where either the person
passed away. Yeah.
It could be where the person under North Carolina law holds property as well, as it relates
right.
to what county,
mm-hmm.
the actual venue that you open the estate. But it's going to be, you know, where the person passed away or resided at the time that they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we look at is that in many states, it is advisable to have a revocable trust so as to avoid probate expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you're from New York and the advice of your attorney there was to dump everything into the revocable trust so that your assets pass directly through that trust as opposed through the probate of the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do that up there because there's a huge expense to die, basically,
right.
the probate
right.
expense. North Carolina happens to be one of those states where it's cheap to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense to pour or dump your assets into a revocable trust to avoid probate in North Carolina.
Right.
Because the cost of setting up the trust, the cost of administering the trust, the cost of the tax return for the trust.
It exceeds the cost.
All those kind of things. And our probate fee max in
mm-hmm.
North Carolina, the most it can be is $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
And for most modest estates, the average estates, it's hundreds of dollars.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense to do that. So you can simplify your life also as far as your estate plan goes if you're moving from New York, for example. to North Carolina by getting that revocable trust out of your plan and just having your estate pass through the will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So lots of reasons to go ahead and put a North Carolina document in place.
There you go.
So the bottom line, Ben, is that if you move to North Carolina, if you make North Carolina your residence, if we intend to live and die in North Carolina, mm-hmm. then it is best that we have a document and or documents, you know, that are inconsistent with North Carolina law and that incorporate the North Carolina statutes.
Right.
Okay. Now, another question. My grandmother is doing pretty well. She has good days and bad days, but she needs a will, Mr. Harvell, but I'm just not real sure that she has the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
There are days that she is confused. There are times that I have to really kind of redirect her thoughts and mm-hmm. her thinking. And what are the capacity requirements mm-hmm. to make a will? Okay,
right.
This again, Ben, is a very standard question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the answer to this question, I'm going to have Wes chime in here too in a minute, but, you know, believe it or not, Ben, the law does not require that we be, you know, 1 month out of graduation from Harvard in order
right.
to make
okay.
a will.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully. The standard is not that strict.
Mm-hmm.
And there probably are reasons why the standard is not that strict, because of the fact that we do want to encourage our population to have a will, and we want to make the laws make the laws lenient enough, if you will, so that they can make a will.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, the rules of capacity are that you know who your heirs happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
you recognize that this is my son, this is my daughter. I have three children, okay? And secondly, that you recognize the nature of your estate.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to know everything to the penny,
mm-hmm.
or every single detail, but you would know that you own property in a certain place, a home,
right. mm-hmm.
that you have bank accounts at certain banks, okay? Many people, elderly people, Ben, you know, they really do not know. They really do not know their mm-hmm. net worth,
right?
Okay,
right.
And they almost always underestimate it. By the way,
mm-hmm.
these are just little things that, through many years of experience, now Wes and I detect. I have a sweet woman who just recently passed away that we're helping her, we're handling her estate, and she just was flabbergasted
mm-hmm.
that her bonds totaled, you know, $300,000
mm-hmm.
when in fact we got the time to really add them up and add all the interest. And she had accounts all throughout the county, and she was flabbergasted that they were the amount that they were.
Mm.
But guess what? She
yep.
knew that she had bonds.
She knew she had them, yeah.
She knew that she had bank accounts at two or three different banks.
That's all that
And that's
did.
What was
yeah.
required.
Right.
Okay. Now, Wes, you deal with this in your litigation
right.
Files relative to lack of capacity and undue influence. So I'll let you talk about this
right.
as well.
Meanwhile, the bottom fell out. There.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my goodness, wow. It's a monsoon out there. I dream about these this standard at sleep when I'm sleeping at night because of a lot of the will caveat cases I deal with on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one of the additional elements would be absolutely number one, we're talking about you have to know generally what your assets are. You have mm-hmm. to know the natural objects of your bounty, which would be your typical heirs,
right.
who the
okay.
heirs would probably be.
Yeah.
And then finally, you need to know, have the ability to understand the effect of a will.
Mm-hmm.
What is this document really going to do? Is it, you know, you just have to have that understanding. So, my goodness, that is somewhat of a subjective standard. Kind of as the attorney, you know, when you sit down with the client and you ask all the right questions, you name your children for me, Let's talk about what you're wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
What assets do you have? And you probably have gathered some information so you know that as the attorney. If the person is off and just can't get there,
right,
then maybe we have to revisit that at a different day. Now, mm-hmm. that is seen in the law. They refer to it in the cases as lucid intervals.
Right.
You don't
right.
have to have the capacity at all times during this relative period of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that capacity to enter a will at the time you're actually entering the will.
Right.
So as we know, we sometimes have folks who are really bad in the afternoon, really good in the morning, you know, and
got to pick your time.
That's right. We can talk more about that after the break.
Okay. Coming back in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys of law here on the Talk Station. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. If you'd like to call in, you can call in with these numbers.
800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
All right, you're talking about...
just generally about the capacity. Mm-hmm. You know, we can just mention that again. You know, obviously, if it's a close case, we like to get a letter from the doctor.
Right.
You know, we like to have other... Obviously, we're going to have the two required witnesses there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'd like to ask questions if it's certainly a close case. I mean, obviously, Ben, if you came into my office and we sat down and did your will, I'm mm-hmm. not going to have to go through all the questions
right.
with you.
Right.
But if it's someone, you know, who is in their later years and maybe has some type of issues, then, yeah, we want to ask all these questions to make sure they're clear at the time that document is being executed.
Well, I mean, we all know people that we know that have good days and bad days,
right.
good times a day, and et cetera. So, and at the moments when they're lucid, I remember when my mom, even when she still had bouts of dementia, there were days when she was completely lucid, knew everything
yep.
that was going on.
That's right.
So those are the times. Now, let's talk you mentioned, yes. Cecil, about some other kinds of wills and things, too.
Well, another question that we get very often, all of these are very often questions, Ben.
Right.
Is, Mr. Harvell, I have a will. I sat down one day at my kitchen table and I wrote it out exactly what I want to happen
mm-hmm.
when I die. And I called it my last will. I said, this is my will.
Mm-hmm.
And I signed it. And it's all in my handwriting. Will you take a look at that? Will you review that for me and make sure that that's legal?
Mm-hmm.
So, Ben, North Carolina does, in fact, recognize a will that is written entirely in the handwriting, the penmanship of the person who dies.
Right. Called
this is not, yeah. It's called a holographic will. This is not now a will typed on the computer by this person
mm-hmm.
and then signed. That's different. See, the sanctity of the penmanship, the sanctity of the handwriting
mm-hmm.
validates this will. And in fact, there are affidavits that are then signed by persons that acknowledge that they recognize this to be the handwriting of their mother or father. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if those affidavits are in good form, and if that document is handwritten, and if it's signed by the testator, left in a place that indicates that it is of a valuable nature,
mm-hmm.
then that will can be admitted as the last will and testament in the state of North Carolina. Now, that's the answer to the question. Is it a will?
Mm-hmm.
The next, of course, companion question is that a good idea?
Right.
And, of course,
right.
unfortunately, Ben, these are the types of wills that we see lots of problems with.
Mm-hmm.
They bode and support litigation, unfortunately. They many times do not name alternates. Like, for instance, I saw one just last week where I hereby give everything to my son. Well, the son is in his 70s
mm-hmm.
and is in my office and has no children, by the way.
Right.
There are no grandchildren. And the will, mom's will, she's in her 90s, has nothing to say about what happens if this son is not living.
Right.
And I might add, he's not in good health.
Yeah.
Okay. It also did not appoint him as the executor.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to get around that because he is the only child in that file. But what if there are two or three children?
Yes.
And it doesn't name the executor.
Mm-hmm.
So a holographic will is a will that many times has got a lot of holes in it,
mm-hmm.
a lot of lurking problems, and it's not something that most lawyers are going to jump up and down and say, yay, 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 we got a will.
Yeah.
Okay? But to answer the question, they are enforceable in the state of North Carolina.
Yes. And you cover a lot of will caveat cases, so you probably run across this.
Yeah, Wes. You know, we don't see holographic wills all that often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've dealt with, you know, I don't know, over the years, 30, 40, 50 of them, something mm-hmm. like that. As far as in litigation goes, I can recall one where, you know, I represented the estate and it was a holographic will. And the heir filed a caveat
mm-hmm.
to the holographic will because the lady in the holographic will who died left everything to, I think it was the great grandson
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the daughter.
Right.
So the daughter didn't like that. She files the holographic will, and we had to fight that, and it mm-hmm. cost money to do that. And the reason why is because my recollection, now this was several years ago, but the way that the document read was it said I leave my house
mm-hmm.
to this person. So there was an interpretation issue too, because did the house include the entire lot, the
everything
lot next door,
yeah,
everything
right.
contiguous?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just a lot of confusion there. You know, the thing that we end up dealing with holographic will sometimes is that if there's a holographic will, but let's say there was another will 20 years before or 10 mm-hmm. years before, whatever, and it was just completely different than what the holographic will says. But the holographic will almost never is going to say, I revoke all previous wills, because people
right.
don't know to write that in.
Yeah.
So where are we left then? We're left with trying to read the two documents together.
Mm.
Because if it doesn't state that I revoke all prior wills, then the prior will is not revoked.
Right.
We have to try to interpret what the testator's intent was by looking at the old will and the handwritten holographic will.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of issues out there. That's just a couple of them that come to mind, but Cecil's absolutely right. Do yourself a favor and go sit down with an attorney and get the document done correctly to avoid problems later on.
I have a short break and come back in just a moment here with the Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Of course, you can go online at harvellandcollins.com. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And we're with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Top 10 questions people ask about wills.
Yes. Ben, moving right along, we would be remiss not to mention that folks come in or call, and almost always they say, you know, I'm making my appointment because I need to make out my will.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a signal to a good lawyer that, you know, client, we also need to prepare for you a durable power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
a health care proxy,
mm-hmm.
a living will if you desire to have a declaration of natural death,
mm-hmm.
and potentially a HIPAA or privacy release.
Right.
So these are separate and distinct documents. They are not the last will and testament. They speak while we're living, actually, mm-hmm. these documents, powers of attorney and living wills. But it is very important that they also get discussed. And there are times that I have clients come in, and they maybe just got their will
mm-hmm.
a year or so ago, and it is in good form. And I ask them, well, did you also get a power of attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Did you also discuss a health care proxy? And they make the comment, no, that didn't come up. I don't think I have that. What is that? Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying to our listeners is that please look through your copies of your documents and find your copy of your will, mm-hmm. and then do make sure that at the time that you had that done, that you also obtained these other very important documents, power of attorney, health care power of attorney, and declaration of desire for natural death.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Again, those are things that we have discussed from time to time, but we always bring them back
up. So do we have time?
Yeah, we have time for another question.
Okay, we'll just review them very quick. Personal property, mm-hmm. jewelry, mm-hmm. that's dealt with through a memo, not in the will. Update your will every 5 to 7 years. Use percentages, not, for instance, specific bank accounts and specific brokerage accounts with
right.
specific account numbers. They're always changing. The will requires 2 witnesses in the state of North Carolina. Make sure it's notarized, which makes the will self-proving. An executor can be a witness. A beneficiary cannot be a witness, or else they would forfeit their inheritance. Mm-hmm. The powers in the will need to be North Carolina powers, not New Jersey powers. Let's make sure we have capacity. Let's be careful of holographic or handwritten wills. And last but not least, number 10, let's make sure we have these other ancillary important documents like a power of attorney and health care power of attorney.
And Wes, I just want to go back for one moment. You mentioned about the out-of-state will. So if a person is just on vacation, does it go back to where they reside, not where they've been?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking at, like Cecil said a couple of minutes ago, if you're planning on living and dying in North mm-hmm. Carolina, whatever the respective state is going to be, that's where you really need to have your documents mm-hmm. as your home base.
And that includes, I guess, back to the other documents as well, right? To have the healthcare power of attorney and all that done in that same state.
Absolutely. That's correct. And I think, we have 45 seconds or
right.
so. You know, the thing that we talk about sometimes is if we have real property in other states, sometimes it's advisable to go ahead and have a trust set up
mm-hmm.
and put the title for that real property in a trust so as to avoid an ancillary estate administration in Maine or in Pennsylvania
right.
or in California. So that sometimes is advisable depending on where the property is and what the circumstances are and just what the clients want to accomplish.
Yeah, a lot of people have a vacation home or a hunting lodge.
If you die in North Carolina, we deal with the estate here, but we have property in Maine. Well, how is Maine going to know that the property passed through that will? We have to do an ancillary estate administration there. So we've got the main one here and a secondary one there. Well, if you have it set up through a trust, then it passes through the terms of that trust. You could avoid some expense. So that's something that people are interested in sometimes.
All right. Again, if you want to find out more, you want to contact the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys Law and make sure that they are working for you to help get you the right information. Go online at harvellandcollins.com. Give them a call to set up that appointment at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.